In Stephen Adley Gergis's dark comedy, Our Lady of 121st Street, the former students of a beloved nun gather at a Harlem funeral parlor to mourn her passing. But the proceedings are marred by the fact that her body has gone missing. A new production of the play, directed by Felicia Rashad, is at the Pershing Square Signature Center. It's been getting rave reviews, and its run has just been extended to July 17th. I am very pleased to welcome Pulitzer Prize winner Stephen Adley Gergis to our show, along with director and Tony Award winner Felicia Rashad, and one of the show's stars, Quincy Tyler Bernstein. Welcome, Quincy.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So, Quincy, I will start with you. Is this the first of Stephen's plays you've been in?
This is the first of his plays. I was introduced to Stephen almost 20 years ago through Labyrinth Theater Company, and I saw the very first production of this play at Center Stage. And I've seen almost all of his shows since, but I've never worked with him until this moment. So.
And how do you, having seen that original production, what was your process in terms of preparing for this? Finding a place of tabula rasa and sort
of... You know, I was trying, I couldn't get it out of my head. I couldn't get it out of my head for the longest time. So I sort of made peace with that and just let, you know, the memories live there and sort of build my own Inez over time, over the course of the rehearsal process. But didn't beat myself up for not, you know, being able to let go of that production.
Right. Well, tell us about Inez. Tell us about this character.
She's from Harlem. She's a colorful, vibrant woman. She was in love and married to her high school sweetheart. That relationship sort of went wrong. She was betrayed and is sort of moving through the world trying to carry that pain around.
Right.
She's flashy. She's a lot of fun.
She's come back to Harlem to attend the wake for her former teacher, right?
That's Sister Rose. That's right, Sister Rose. But she's really there to see Rooftop.
Rooftop.
Who is her, Walter, she calls him, but her ex-husband.
Played by Hill Harper,
played by
right?
the wonderful Hill Harper.
Tell us a little bit about Rooftop.
Yeah. Rooftop, he talks a lot.
He does.
He's a player. He really talks a good game. He's off in L.A. now as a radio host. But he's, you know, slept with a whole bunch of women and done a whole bunch of drugs and, you know, broke Inez's heart.
Aww.
In the process.
which is apparent. It's true. We carry that as the audience. We see that for sure.
Yeah.
Why was Sister Rose so beloved by her students?
Because she... she was special to, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can speak for my character. I've created a backstory. I feel like my Inez didn't really have a strong family presence, and Sister Rose provided that for her. Sister Rose did something for each one of the students, and that's stated very clearly in the play, that she meant something special to each one of the people that's on that stage,
right?
Give or take.
I mentioned to you earlier that the night I saw the performance, I was there for a talk back afterwards, and Chekhov came up a couple of times in the conversation, and some of the audience members talked about how the play reminded them of Chekhov's writing, in that it's not necessarily about a plot. And here we have a very certain setup, you know, a funeral and a body has gone missing
mm-hmm.
for that funeral.
Yeah.
But in the end, there perhaps might be something, and there's a little bit of resolution there. But really, it seems to be more about the character's experience.
That's right. That's right. It's about their experience. There's no resolution. And that's sort of like life, you know. There isn't always resolution.
It almost becomes more like a sort of impromptu class reunion, it feels
that's
like.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And there are all of these skeletons that sort of come out of the closet. And, you know, they're forced to face those, those challenges and those memories.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how she deals with seeing Rooftop. I mean, you've talked about how she felt, but how does she deal with it? How do we see it play out?
Well, you see them at 5 o'clock in the morning. They're sitting in the waiting room. Rooftop is asleep, and Inez is caught staring at him because, like I said, she is really there to see him. I think she's there. she wants an apology, and she's been wanting to say these things to him for 15 years.
Yeah.
And so she plays it cool. You know, I'm trying to, pretending to read my Bible. I'm trying to look as alluring as I possibly can. Because I'd love for him to just like melt into a puddle as soon as he sees me. And he's, you know, he's trying to worm his way back in, but she won't, you know, she won't let him get in until he does.
Right.
At the end.
There's sort of a unique structure to the show in that there's a large cast. I mean, I think it were 11 or 12 cast members, several different sets. But yet each of the scenes is quite intimate in terms of just one or two or three people sort of interacting. Talk to us about how that affected the cast as a whole. Did that make it hard for you all to sort of get on the same page, or what devices did you guys use to sort of stay on the same page?
No, I think we were on the same page from the very beginning. It's such a lovely group of people. And we were also, even though the scenes are like 2-3 person scenes, we were often there all of the time. And so we were able to sort of build a camaraderie, like in the green room, you know? And so I think that was actually very helpful to be there all together, even when we weren't working. And I found myself too, like in the rehearsal room a lot of times, just watching and spending time with my fellow actors that way. So
there's another key character that Inez interacts with, Norca, kind of frenemies. Tell us about that relationship.
Norca, yes, they were friends for a long time. I think that Inez looked out for Norca. Norca has a big mouth and tends to be violent at times. So I think Inez sort of took care of her over the years. Norca ended up, I don't know if I'm like ruining the plot, but you know.
Well, as we've established, the plot isn't the main thing.
It's
It really is about these interactions.
So
right?
Norca betrays Inez by sleeping with Rooftop.
Yeah.
And so.
I want to go to Felicia on the phone. Hi, Felicia. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
So, you know, most people know you as an actor from your many award-winning roles, including Raisin in the Sun. Isn't it true that this is your New York directorial debut?
Yes.
So why did you choose this particular play as your first New York directing project?
Actually, this play chose me. The playwright chose me. And that was an honor.
Indeed. So had you ever worked with Stephen before, or how familiar were you with his body of work?
I had not worked with him before. I'd never met him before.
And so how does your experience as an actress affect your directing, particularly for this show, or did it affect your directing?
It informs my directing, most certainly. It informs the way I read a script and what I'm looking at in terms of the characters, definitely, but in terms of just reading the script as a whole, it informs it.
Right.
Because actors approach the work the way actors do.
Exactly. So, you know, we were talking earlier about how the play is structured and even how the stage is structured. We move between sets and actors frequently throughout the action. How did you work to keep it all moving but create a unified whole?
Yes. Well, I worked with Walt Spangler, who designed our set. And in our initial meeting, I told him that what was readily apparent to me was that energy had to shift from scene to scene seamlessly without long periods of time in between. In other words, we had to move. We had to keep it moving. And we can't wait.
Right.
You know? So that was how we keep momentum going. That's the way the play is written.
Right.
When you read it, like, so that's the way it moves. So I wanted to honor the text as I had read it by certainly planning to have scene shifts in that way, in the spirit in which it was written. And so Walt went away and he thought about it and he came back with this elaborate kind of set with all these things on it that we began to whittle and move away till we came to our present set, which was very good. He did what a designer does. He put everything before me for us to look at and say,
Right. Yeah.
And together we did that with the help and supervision, of course, with Paige Evans, the artistic director.
Right.
Our signature, and that's how we worked together to achieve it. And of course, Stephen had approval of it as well.
Right. Full collaboration. And Stephen has done some acting before becoming a playwright as well. Quincy, how does having both a director and a playwright coming from the point of view of acting help the cast?
It's been really helpful. It's, you know, there's a vocabulary
right.
that actors have and use. And so Felicia was able to, you know, say something in such a way that what she wanted to see and what we were trying to accomplish was able to be fulfilled, you know,
yeah.
rather easily.
Yeah. Felicia, we were talking earlier about the structure of the play, and, you know, it begins rather dramatically. A man in his boxer shorts standing outside of a casket, next to a casket, rather, that's empty. The body has gone missing, and this is a very dramatic setup. But as we move along, we realize, you know, that might not be the most sort of central thing that we should keep our attention on there. It's really about sort of these relationships. And in the talkback I saw after the show, even the actors had a different take on the ending and sort of, let's say, the lack of a conventional resolution. What's your thought on in terms of what Stephen was trying to do with this script?
I think it mimics life.
Yeah.
Life is not tied up in a bow.
Yeah.
You know, it's not neatly packaged. It doesn't just end happily ever after. It isn't always resolved.
Right.
And that's what I think he accomplished with this.
The play almost feels like a portrait of a specific neighborhood. Did you all, Quincy, talk about your childhoods during rehearsal? Or?
A little bit, yeah. We talked with each other, you know, actor to actor, about histories and things. And I know a couple of the actors went up to the neighborhood and walked around and picked out the building that, you know, they supposedly grew up in and things mm-hmm. like that. And so, yeah, we fleshed it out in that way.
Mm-hmm. Felicia, how does that square with you in terms of sort of Harlem as a character in the play or a central part of the play and the idea of putting together a portrait of a neighborhood?
Well, the people did that, you know, the actors did that because they've really bonded to form this cohesive unit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this cast did. And this was one of the overwhelming comments in early run-throughs when people would come and visit the rehearsal, and they said there's a community there.
Right, right.
So it was happening very organically through the work itself.
Right. Felicia, do you have, the play has been extended through June 17th, but do you have other things on your docket? What are you going to be working on next?
Well, at present, I'm in Chicago. This is our first week of rehearsals at the Steppenwolf for Jen Silverman's The Roommate.
Ooh.
So that's what I'm doing right now.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
And Quincy, I hear you have a new adventure coming up, huh?
Yes, I'm getting married in September, so I'm spending the summer working on that production.
A very different production, but an exciting one all the same. And I also wanted to mention something that just recently happened. I think it was in today or yesterday's New York Times. Stephen's earlier play, which is Jesus Hopped the A-Train, mm-hmm. Was named one of the 25 most important American plays since Angels in America.
Yeah, incredible, incredible.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
clearly,
congratulations.
Clearly tall cotton all the way around. This is fantastic. I'm so grateful to both of you for taking the time to be with me here today, and I wish you continued success in the run.
Thanks so much.
I'm D.W. Gibson, and I've been speaking with actress Quincy Tyler Bernstein and director Felicia Rashad about their new production of Our Lady of 121st Street.